Oh, the gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
I can't believe it's midnight, can you?
No, I really can't.
We have gone to a new broadcast time. Now, some of you might be hearing this during the day, that's okay, but we are broadcasting on midnight. On Christian Talk 660 AM.
On midnight? You mean at midnight?
Did I say on?
You said on.
All right, at midnight on Christian Talk 660 AM, 92.9 FM, Monday through Friday. It's a new day.
Well, if you want to be technical, it's midnight Tuesday through Saturday. Because, you know, midnight, you know, Monday night is really Tuesday morning.
Well, I mentioned that on one of my previous broadcasts, so I was aware of that, but anyway, we're just having a good time. Hey, let me just inform the audience, that's changed, but something that hasn't changed, you have no idea what we're going to be talking about.
That's true. I get this stuff first time on the recording session.
The recording session?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, we do record it. Put it up on different media outlets.
Everybody knows we're not going to be up at midnight recording this. Man, we're in bed sleeping. Except actually right now it is about midnight.
It is. So anyhow, we haven't talked about the Trump train in a long time.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Trump train is running down the track again. Now, had somebody say something to me the other day. They were like, hey, you said Trump wasn't going to win. Do you remember me saying that?
I do not recall a time that you ever said that.
I don't think I said that either. Now, I do remember saying something to the effect that the Republican establishment is going to do everything they can to keep him from getting the nomination. They're going to try to steal it at the convention. And if Trump does get the nomination, it's going to be a miracle. But that's about as far as I went. Because before, you know, this whole Never Trump movement started, lots of folk were saying he's not going to win, but I was saying he is going to win. Now, I'm not a prophet, and I'm not trying to say, hey, look at me. But it looks like now he's going to win.
And it looks like everybody's saying that he's probably going
to win. A lot of people are saying it. Not everybody. There's a lot of Cruz folks still hanging on to, you know, some kind of unrealistic hope.
I mean, Trump's lead over Cruz is pretty much, like, insurmountable.
It's huge.
Huge.
Yes. And, of course, we've got Indiana coming up, what, tomorrow? Yes.
I don't know.
You're killing me. But anyway, the point that I want to make with all of this, if the establishment still tries to steal the nomination from him at the convention, all chaos is going to break loose. So,
yeah,
I think he's got it. I mean, he could lose Indiana. He could lose California, but barring something like that, he's going to go over the top before he gets to Cleveland. Now, is that what we're going to talk about the whole show? No.
Well, then the big question is, if or when he gets the nomination, is he going to beat Hillary?
Trump is the only one who can beat Hillary, and I've said that before.
Right. I mean,
yes, he's going to beat Hillary.
You really think so?
I know so. Look, there are a lot of folk who think John Kasich can beat Hillary because he's the voice of reason. Kasich can't beat Hillary. You know how I know that?
Kasich can't even beat Trump.
Well, that's right. He can't beat Trump and he can't beat Cruz. Everybody's talking about, oh my gosh, nobody wants Trump. They didn't vote for Trump. Look, Trump, we said this months ago, and Trump's saying it himself, and it's true. I don't understand how everybody's brain dead, and I'm not being ugly. But the reason Trump wasn't getting above 38-40% in some of these early primaries, because you had multiple candidates in the primaries. Now that he's out, it's, you know, him, Cruz, Kasich. Yeah, Cruz won a couple. Kasich won his home state. And then Cruz has been doing the ground game. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's according to the rules. Yeah, it's the way the Republicans do business. But it's not the will of the people. All right. So not going to go down that road either. I don't understand Christians, though. I guess, you know, Christians are biased. Like, the Cruz supporters are trying to say this is the way it's done. But if the shoe were on the other foot, they'd be screaming just as loudly as the Trump supporters that, hey, they're trying to steal the nomination. It shouldn't be done this way.
Mm-hmm.
Look, no one's saying that they're violating the rules of the Republican Party. But a lot of folk are saying, me included, it's not the right way to do business. Not the right way to go about it. And I just think Christians need to be honest with themselves. But that's another story. Not going down that road. But the reason that Kasich is not going to win is because he's a moderate. And they already put up a moderate, Romney. He lost. They already put up another moderate before him, McCain. He lost. That's the whole point. Republican moderates can't beat Democrats. That just isn't going to happen.
Right.
They're too much alike. And so then you got the other folk who are going, well, the ultra-conservative, he's the one that can beat Hillary. Cruz. You know, a lot of my pastor friends are saying, Cruz, he can beat Hillary. Cruz can't beat Hillary.
The majority of Americans are not ultra-conservative. I think everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So why would the majority of Americans vote for an ultra-conservative?
Well, they wouldn't.
Exactly.
See, even that's most Republicans saying. Are not ultra-conservative.
Right.
Most Republicans hate Ted Cruz.
Republicans can't even make up their minds. You got Ted Cruz, you got Kasich, you got Donald Trump. They're all so different.
Well, they are different. But like you said it better than I could say it. If the majority of Republicans aren't going to vote for Cruz, how in the world are the majority of Americans going to vote for Cruz?
Exactly.
Just not going to happen. But here's the thing. Trump has more vote. Right now, Donald Trump has more votes than Romney had during the entire primary season. Okay?
Yeah.
Not just more votes than Romney at this point, but more votes than Romney got. Trump is going to get more votes than any Republican in history in terms of the primary. So I don't understand. Well, I do understand. All of the folks saying Trump is, nobody likes Trump, he's not going to get it. What this is misdirection. What this is it's just politics, and it's trying to manipulate the voters. Because most voters are low-information voters, and they kind of base their vote on different things that they hear, rather than really analyze. But I think you have people today who are a little bit more informed. You've got a larger electorate that is energized. A lot of folk are angry. We know that a lot of folk are voting for Trump because they like what Trump says. A lot of folk are voting for him because they're angry. A lot of folk are tired of the status quo. A lot of folk just want to see the whole system shaken up. They feel betrayed by the Republican Party and the Democrats. And I understand that. I'm not a Republican per se, but we have been betrayed by the Republican Party. They haven't done anything they've said they would do. We did a broadcast several months ago that we never aired because I thought it was a little too incendiary.
That's a big word.
It's too strong. I may post it anyway, but remember, we did an entire broadcast on why the Republicans are not pro-life.
Oh, we didn't post that?
They say they're pro-life, but they're not.
I mean, it went out on the radio.
Well, we played it. We aired it live, but I never put it on Sermon Audio or SoundCloud or any of the other, you know, myriad number of web outlets that we broadcast on.
So many.
Two so far, but we're growing, okay? We're growing.
Two is more than one.
It is. It's multiple media outlets. So anyway, we might post that.
Okay.
I mean, can I just say this? I mean, Christians, we need to be loving. We need to be kind. We need to speak the truth. We need to speak the truth in love. But that doesn't mean we can't just be frank either, right?
Right.
Can't be crass. Can't be coarse. That kind of thing. We can be frank. The Republicans are just a bunch of liars. That's all they are. Just a bunch of politicians. Now, it goes without saying the Democrats are too. I mean, the reason we talk about Republicans is because most Christians sort of identify with the Republican Party, and we have over the years, and, you know, whether or not we're actually members of the party or not, but we're more conservative. But, you know, the reality is we really shouldn't identify with any party. I mean, we're Christians, but we ought to develop a biblical philosophy of public policy, a biblical philosophy of politics, that kind of dynamic, which is what you and I are trying to do, have been doing for a number of years. But you know, the Republicans have betrayed their supporters. Let me put it that way. Roe v. Wade, Hello?
Yeah.
Should have been overturned. Unconstitutional.
Right.
Anti-founding documents, anti-life and liberty. Go ahead.
I mean, isn't the House controlled by Republicans still, or no? Is there a majority?
Yeah, of course.
So then that, like, makes absolutely no sense that Roe versus Wade has not been overturned.
That's right.
Because if Republicans were so, if they actually held to pro-life values, then they would have done something about it. But they just tell people, oh, yeah, I'm pro-life, but does that mean you're actually going to do anything about
it?
Well, clearly not.
Yeah. And so you have voters there saying, look, you've told me you're pro-life over and over and over again, but you've done nothing about it, so I'm not voting for you anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. I may not like everything he stands for, may not agree with everything he says. But you know what? He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's not part of the establishment. He's going to do some things different. Now, what's that going to look like in the end? Don't know. But we got to.
Might
not be good, but we got to break the stranglehold that we're under now. And that's where a lot of folk are coming from. Now, all of that brings me to say this. I really wasn't even going to say this. I wasn't even going to mention this whole Republican thing and Republicans not being pro-life. But one of the other issues, and look, we had like 10 or 11 reasons they're not pro-life.
Yeah.
But one of the other ones was their love for war.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that seriously grieves me about Christians, that a lot of Christians, because they're Republicans first and Christians second, and I know that's incendiary, and that's my new favorite word. I'm kidding. It's not my new favorite word. I've just, you know, used it once, so I use it again. But the reality is a lot of Christians parrot what they hear. They parrot conservative talking points because they're conservative. A lot of Christians act in the flesh. But Christians should not love. It is not a biblical stance to love war.
Right.
It's not a biblical stance to be hawkish. It's not a biblical stance to be a warmonger. It's not a biblical stance to want to just willy-nilly kill people because it somehow makes sense for America. It's just not a biblical stance.
Right.
Okay. So that brings me, this is why I started the broadcast by talking about the Trump train. It's not that I'm a big Trump fan. Now, as I have said before, I'm pulling for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling for him because I wanted to break the stranglehold the neoconservatives have on the Republican and Democratic parties, the stranglehold that neocons have on the country, on Christians, the blindness that has engulfed Christians. Neoconservatism, this globalist philosophy, this philosophy of interventionism and regime change and nation building, and we're going to exert our will across the globe by the sheer power of our military might. It's a philosophy that started back, well, a long, long time ago, but it was sort of enunciated for the first time with broad acceptance by George H.W. Bush.
Hmm.
Do you remember George Bush?
Well,
the speech before the UN? Oh,
I
you
do
weren't
not
alive
remember,
at the time, correct.
But I have heard.
Okay, well, I heard it.
I can't actually say that I remember seeing as I was not born.
I know what you mean, but you're a student of history.
Yes.
But I remember seeing it. I remember hearing it. And he talked about the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded good at the time. You're looking at it from a
certain... Yeah, America, woo!
That's right. Oh, we're going to establish democracies across the globe.
Yeah, sounds good.
But see, we really didn't know what that meant. You know, we really didn't know it was through, you know, the military. And of course, back then, you know, wasn't even thinking about, well, okay, well, if we're going to do it, then it must be good and establish democracy and freedom and all the rest, right? The Bush Doctrine and all that. And then, you know, we're going to try to impose Western notions of democracy on Middle Eastern countries, for example, countries that have no desire for Western democracy, don't even understand what it is, and we're just going to impose it, and that's a good thing through mm-hmm. military action.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we weren't thinking back then. And what have we had since then? War after war, incursion after incursion, violation after violation, the massive loss of blood and treasure, our own blood and our own treasure, not to mention the blood and treasure of other nations, and all for what? How are we doing?
Bad.
People hate us.
We're doing bad.
Doing bad. Our economy's suffering as a result. You know, people maimed and killed. And anyway, I'm not trying to go on a rant. We're talking because we want Christians to think.
Yeah.
And
to think. biblically.
That's exactly right. So, pulling for Trump, because we've got to break one way or another. And see, I don't think politics is the answer. I don't think public policy is the answer. What's the answer?
The answer is the gospel.
Of course. We've got to penetrate this culture with the gospel. We've got to engage in the realm of ideas. We've got to be focused on the kingdom of God and its advance. But one of the things that we as Christians do, of course, is we speak to different dynamics, really every dynamic in our culture, and we speak to it from a biblical perspective, through a biblical lens. We bring the kingdom of God to bear on the kingdoms of this world.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven."
Right.
So whenever we, you know, obey the will of God and bring the will of God to bear, the kingdom of God is coming. It's having influence. It's having impact.
Well, the kingdom of God, some people might be like, what does that mean, bringing the kingdom of God to bear? It's more than, doing kingdom work is more than just telling others about Christ and making new disciples of him.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
I would, although that's foundational, right?
Well, absolutely.
Make disciples of all the nations.
Right, but
teaching them to obey.
But I'm saying glorifying God in your field, in your career, at home, etc. All of that is still kingdom work, and
it still
matters, and that's what we're talking about.
You go back to the dominion mandate, for example, pre-fall and post-fall. What did God tell Adam and Eve?
He told them to be fruitful and multiply, to subdue the earth, to have dominion over it.
That's right. And so we're cultivating the earth, we're developing the earth, we're mining the resources, we're building cities, we're doing things together, and all of us have different gifts and talents and opportunities and spheres of influence, and it comes together, in this thing called cultural development. And to the degree that culture is influenced by the gospel, the culture is healthier. To the degree that a culture is not influenced by the gospel, it's not healthy, it's chaotic. And so what we're talking about is not merely creating culture, but creating kingdom culture.
Yeah.
It's comprehensive. And look, the fall is comprehensive, isn't it? I mean, what did the fall affect?
Literally everything.
Well, right. Adam's relationship with...
with God, with Eve, with the ground, with work, with his children.
Yeah, everything. And the reason we have disease and the reason we have natural disaster, it's all a result of the fall. So if the fall is comprehensive, then redemption is also...
comprehensive.
Comprehensive. That's why you go to Romans 8 and Paul says the creation itself, the whole creation groans, waiting for its redemption. Christ is the answer. When Christ died on the cross, he redeemed his people to himself, but he also redeemed the entire cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom has been ushered in. It's been inaugurated. We're in the now, not yet, because it's not yet been consummated.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be when Jesus comes again. Now, having said all of that, we're getting off track and running out of time, which is, hey, that's okay.
Because we're coming back tomorrow.
Coming back tomorrow. We can continue the discussion, and we can expand on the discussion. Of course, at some point, I guess on Tuesday, we've got to talk about Indiana and what happens there.
That's true.
So I think it's winner take all. 59 big ones, 57 maybe. I don't know. A lot of delegates. But anyway, I want to talk about the kingdom, but and I want to say that politics is not the answer, though Christianity has got to influence politics and public policy. That's where we're coming from when we talk about these things.
Right.
Not that we think Ron Paul or Rand Paul or Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or anybody else can be the savior of the nation. A lot of Christians think by that, oh, if we can just get the right man in office, then everything's going to be fixed. Not true. You got to change hearts and minds. That's the only way everything's going to be fixed. But does that mean that we shouldn't try to influence public policy at the same time? No, it's a both and. It's not an either or.
Right.
Okay, so at this point, I mean, I'm not a Trump guy. I mean, I'm a liberty guy. Why? Because I'm a Christian. And liberty flows from a Christian worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty and civil society. That's what we're talking about. Talked about it many a time. Okay. But one of the reasons that I'm pulling for Trump, as I've already said, we've got to break the neocon stranglehold. And so I want to suggest that Christians, if you heard Trump's foreign policy speech last week, listen, a lot of the Ted Cruz folk are criticizing it.
Mm-hmm.
The establishment's criticizing it. But you know what? It was a good speech.
Mm-hmm.
It, like Trump, hate Trump, doesn't matter. Good speech. Perfect speech? No. Did he, you know, kiss Israel's feet too much? Sure. It's not anti-Semitic. That's just, hey, Israel does good. We're an ally. Israel does bad. We ought to call it what it is. Just like Germany, England, Japan, South Korea, North Korea, Russia, right? Okay. Everything cool? All right. Sort of said some other things, but by and large, good speech. You know what he said? Basically, he said America first. Now, there's a lot of establishment types. You know, a lot of, let me just put it that way. That this America first notion is anathema to them.
What do you mean?
Well, it harkens back to the peace movements just prior to World War II. Charles Lindbergh and some others, and they tried to paint him as evil and anti-Semitic and all the rest. But basically, they were calling for peace and not war. And, of course, it was Roosevelt who deceived the American people. He knew what was happening. He knew what was coming. He wanted to take us into war, just like all neocons. And so here is Trump using this America first kind of terminology, and Trump is essentially saying the foreign policy that we had for a long, long time made sense.
Mm-hmm.
He harkened back to President Reagan.
Right.
In fact, if you think about Republicans, if you think about Eisenhower, you know, Eisenhower... there's a lot to Eisenhower, on the one hand, but on the other, you know, he wasn't really a pro-war guy.
Okay.
You know, he lamented those kinds of things. You fast forward, just a little bit and, you know, Richard Nixon, you know, he got us out of Vietnam.
Right.
Ronald Reagan, he only used the military 3 times in 8 years.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about that before. And it wasn't about regime change.
Right.
One was payback for Gaddafi, a terrorist act he pulled. One was rescuing, you know, the students there in Grenada. And then the other was sending troops into Lebanon. And he said that sending troops into Lebanon was the worst mistake of his presidency. And, of course, you had 200 and some odd U.S. Marines killed in a terrorist attack. We're going to get all the facts. I'm just going from the top of my head. I'm just going from memory. We're going to get those facts in a future broadcast. But the point is, where was I going? Oh, Trump, you know, he basically said, you know, with Ronald Reagan, we had, he talked with Gorbachev.
Mm-hmm.
Ended the Cold War. And ever since Reagan, our foreign policy has begun to veer off course. And he's absolutely right. And again, we've involved ourselves in regime change, nation building, and we've had one disaster after another, and we got nothing to show for it. And so the point I'm making is that Christians... Even if you don't like Donald Trump, I understand that. There's a lot not to like about him. He's not a saved man.
Right, and he acts like it.
And he acts like he's not a saved man. But one thing we ought to be glad about, if he is elected president. By the way, we never got back into why I think Trump will beat Hillary.
Oh.
Cruz can't beat Hillary. Kasich can't beat Hillary. But Trump can beat and will beat Hillary. He really will. He's going to bring out all the bad stuff about Hillary. You say, what all the bad stuff about him? They've already tried to kill Trump and they can't
right.
do it. And as he says himself, he ain't even got started on Hillary yet. And you want to talk about somebody who's not liked? I mean, they're just voting for Hillary because she's, you know, she somehow, excuse me, somehow she got the backing of the Democratic establishment. I guess they felt they owed it to her, or I don't know.
All right, well, you were mid-sentence when you interrupted with that.
Well, all I'm saying is Christians should be, if Trump wins the presidency, right, like him, hate him, if he wins, you ought to be happy if he follows through on the foreign policy vision he laid out the other day.
Right, because he's not an interventionist.
That's right.
And I don't think there's a single person who's running who is not interventionist.
Oh, no.
Other than Donald Trump.
That's right. You want to know who the biggest neoconservative of them all, the biggest warmonger of them all, the one who will take us into World War III more likely than anyone else? You want to know who that is?
Ted Cruz.
Well, Ted's high on the list, but it's not him.
Oh, Hillary?
It's Hillary. It's Hillary Clinton. I mean, she's unbelievable. And people think, Hillary's a warmonger? Absolutely. She's, anyway, I don't even want to go down the road. We're out of time.
Well, we got a couple minutes.
But, well, I want to make this point. The killing of millions of innocent people for merely political or philosophical positions, Antichrist.
Mm.
War is not a pro-life stance. War is not a biblical stance. Are there times we have to defend ourselves? Sure. We're not complete pacifists. But we're not warmongers either. And think again of the massive cost of blood and treasure. And this notion that we're fighting, quote-unquote, fighting over there to protect our freedoms over here, that's just wrong-headed. It's just not true. Our freedoms are not being threatened.
Right.
By people in the Middle East. If anything, it's our presence in the Middle East that puts our freedom at risk.
Mm-hmm.
The arrogance of regime change, the arrogance of nation building, the arrogance of ignoring sovereign states, and that risk I talked about, the terrorist attacks, the threat of terror that we live under all the time. Jesus was not the prince of war. Now, Jesus judges his enemies, that's true. But he's the prince of peace.
Right.
He said, blessed are the peacemakers. So, yeah, self-defense. Defending our borders, that's different. That's different, though, than this global empire goal that the neocons have. And if Trump can break the stranglehold of this philosophy that has blinded so many Americans and blinded so many Christians, that's a good thing.
Right.
And we ought to praise God for it. So Christians think, we ought to praise God for it if he follows through.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk more about it next time on The Dean's List.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.